Let the church say amen once.
Amen.
All right. I have a question I want to ask you guys this morning. Have you ever felt happy and sad at the same time? Well, that's how I feel this morning. I feel happy that I'm leaving, but I feel sad that I'm leaving. And I'm truly going to miss coming to Brownville Baptist Church every Sunday, seeing all of your beautiful faces. But anyway, giving honor to God and for allowing me to be here this morning and stand before you, and also giving honor to Pastor Larry for allowing me to share his pulpit again. And I want to thank my wife for being here with me and being by my side for so many years. And if you would like, you could stand and say a word or two, if you don't mind. And also, we have with us this morning a couple that was with us on our Israel tour, Charlie and Mary Ann Porter. Thanks for being here with us. We almost have the entire Israel group complete, but we didn't quite make it. But anyway, this morning I want to talk to you about God as a second chance God, which is the title of the sermon this morning. And as we go through, I would like for you to, I know it's up here, but turn your Bibles also to John chapter 21, verses 15, starting with 15. You know, many times in our lives, we have grieved God by our sin and unfaithfulness. But again and again, God gives us a second chance. You know, the Lord revealed himself to Moses at Sinai. He said he was the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love, faithfulness, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. We might very well call him the God of second chance. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. We note how different God is from us. We are always ready to write someone off when they wrong us or disappoint us. They may even slight us a little. We say we are finished with them. How would we feel if God treated us that way? Well, we look at the record of how he deals with his people, Israel. God was fed up with their unfaithfulness after giving them many opportunities to change their ways, so that he sent Nebuchadnezzar to plunder the very temple and carry off the people into exile in Babylon. But God took a second look at the people down in Babylon, how they were suffering, and he gave them a second chance. God was also grieved at David. David was God's choice as king, But you know, Dave, you know the story of David. David committed adultery with Bathsheba. And God punished him. But he took a second look at David, because David took the advice from Nathan and he repented. And God gave him a second chance. And God will give you today a second chance also. Now we'll turn to John 21, verses 15. And it say, so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most surely I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning just thanking you, Lord, for your love and your grace. Lord, we thank you for all the things that you have done for us. And Lord, we just thank you so much because we know you are a gracious God, and we thank you. And now, Lord, as we continue on, I ask you to just bless everyone here and help them to understand that you are that second chance God. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever done something that you are ashamed of? I think we all have. Have you ever felt that you have disappointed God to such an extent that he would never love you again or accept you into heaven? Wouldn't it be nice if we could just erase certain parts of our lives that disappointed God? My brothers and sisters, the good news is that it is possible for us to have a second chance with God. It is very possible. We can have all of our past erased. We can have all of our evil thoughts eradicated. We can have all of our disappointments with God exterminated. So this morning, in order to have that second chance with God, we must first realize the quality of God's mercy and grace. You know, I witness to people all the time. Brother Paul, this morning, he asked the question, how many of us witness to people during our daily walk? And I do. I witness to people, and they sometimes tell me Even if I became a Christian, God would never love me nor accept me into heaven because of the past sins I have committed. That's what a lot of people think. Some people look at God as an unforgiving and unmerciful God who takes pleasure in punishing people. I tell people, as they begin reading their Bible, they will discover that God is exactly the opposite of what they think he is. I tell them God is not unmerciful and unforgiving. Instead, I tell them that he is a merciful and forgiving God who does not enjoy punishing us. You see, the prophet Ezekiel tells us in Ezekiel 33, verse 11, that the prophet Ezekiel put it this way: "As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live." See, God doesn't enjoy punishing us. He wants to see us live our lives. God is this kind of judge. He has mercifully paid our penalty for sin and has given us the opportunity to have a second chance. God is a merciful God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 tells us that God is rich in mercy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 say that God has great mercy. In the 136th Psalm, 26 times it say, "His loving kindness is everlasting." Kindness and mercy are strong qualities of the nature of God. The Naval Topical Bible lists over 200 verses that describe the merciful nature of God. Long ago, there was a poor woman from the slums of London. And she was invited to go with a group of people on vacation at the ocean. She started crying. Those around her thought it was strange that she would cry after such an enjoyable holiday had been provided for her. So finally, one of them asked her why she was crying, pointing to the ocean. She answered, "This is the only thing that I have ever seen that there was enough of." Listen, people. God has oceans of mercy, and it will never run out. Before we start over with a second chance and rededicate our lives to the Lord, we must realize and accept the quality of God's mercy. It will reach us if we want it. All we got to do is reach out for it. The second thing we need to do, we must understand that God is willing to give us that second chance. As you remember the story, God wanted his prophet Jonah to go and preach against the city of Nineveh. Most of you probably remember, we just studied this a few weeks ago in Sunday school. However, Jonah did not want to fulfill that mission, so in order to flee from the Lord, he boarded a ship and sailed to Tarshish. But during that journey, the Lord sent a great wind on the sea that threatened to break up the ship. In order to save the ship, the crew, after discovering that the storm was Jonah's fault, they threw him into the sea. While drowning in the sea, Jonah prayed to the Lord for help. And God sent a great fish that swallowed Jonah up. But eventually it vomited Jonah out onto dry land. Jonah chapter 3 verse 1 say, Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Although at one time Jonah had refused to go to Nineveh, God gave him a second chance. For it say the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Even though Jonah at first disappointed God, he was still given a second chance. God would also give you a second chance today. No matter what we have done in our past, God will accept us and give us a second chance. God is not interested in what we once were. Instead, he is interested in what we can become. Many people in the Bible overcame a turbulent past and became great and faithful servants of the Lord. Look at Abraham. Abraham, the father of the Hebrew nation, at one time worshiped other gods. David, the third king of Israel, although he committed adultery, became a man after God's own heart. Paul, the great apostle of Jesus Christ, one time had Christians arrested and killed. Although at one time these men lived ungodly lives, they were given a second chance. And eventually they became great servants of the Lord. And so can we. We must forget our past failures and focus on our future successes. Paul put it this way in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. One day, the police stopped a teenage girl in a city in Idaho. After complaints that a car had been seen going around her neighborhood in reverse for some time. The girl told the police that her parents had let her use the car, but she had put too many mileage on it. So she was trying to unwind some of the miles. And As I conclude here this morning, God is giving you a second chance to get your life right. You can unwind all of the sinful knowledge that you have accumulated over the years. Today, you can start a fresh new relationship with the Lord. You may say, well, how can I start over with the Lord? If you are not a Christian and you are sitting here today and you want to do, there are five things in order to get your life right with God and become a Christian. First, God wants you to believe in Him and His Son, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Number two, God wants you to repent of your sins. Acts 17:30. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now He commands all people everywhere to repent. Number three, God wants you to confess faith in Jesus Christ. Matthew 10:32 say, however, acknowledge me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disown me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Number four, God wants you to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sin. Mark 16:16 say, Jesus said, go into all nations and preach the good news to all creations. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Number five, God wants you to live a faithful and obedient life to the end. Revelation 2:10 put it this way, be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. If you obey these biblical principles this morning, you can receive salvation and start a new life serving the Lord. All the sin you have ever committed will be wiped away. God will remember them no more. Now, for the Christians, if you are a Christian here this morning, maybe you have wandered away from God, but you want to come back. It's easy to come back. There are two things. God wants you to repent and confess of your sins. 1 John chapter 1:9 say, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. It's easy to come back. The Lord has His arms wide open, just waiting for you to respond. Since He is such a loving, merciful God, He is willing to give you a second chance to get your life back on track with Him. Luke 15:20. But while we were still a long way off, His Father saw Him and was filled with compassion for Him. He ran to His Son, threw His arms around Him, and kissed Him. And we all know that was the prodigal son. God is standing here this morning with his arms open, wide, hoping and praying that you will come to him. But I'm sure the devil is also sitting next to you telling you, you don't have to do that. You got time to do that. Well, people, let me tell you. Time, you don't know. Tomorrow, you may not be here tomorrow. So today is the day that you should do it. Life is too unpredictable. You may not have another chance to get your heart and your life right with God. Whatever you have done, whatever you have become, it doesn't matter. So, do like the prodigal son. Come home this morning. If you have wandered away, come home. Come home to the Lord right now as we pray. And Pastor Larry is going to come. And if I haven't lost my voice, I'm going to do my best to sing a song for you.
Father, Exactly.